There is something I want to talk to you about regarding identity. It's so important. Our identity and being able to pull out that photo ID. It's used to confirm that you are who you are. In travel, you can't board a plane without a photo ID. We're supposed to drive our cars with our license. Currently, there's a huge problem called identity theft. Has anyone ever heard of that? Recent statistics say that 15 million U.S. citizens per year are having problems with identity theft, and that 100 million, their identities are being compromised with the kinds of things that have happened with, you know, the different hackings and things like that. It totals $15 billion a year in financial loss in America, and they're now thinking it's one of the worst and most significant crimes right now. But I just want to tell you that the devil, the thief, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In large part, he is really after your identity. He's after your sense of being, of your origin, of your value, of your purpose, and of your destiny. He's constantly attacking that area. The evidence of that in the ministry of Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, at its inception, the first thing Satan tried to do was say, if you're really the Son of God, then turn these stones into a loaf of bread. And he started to attack him in his identity, his purpose, his value, and his destiny. Even in the garden, and as early as Genesis chapter 3, the devil enticed Eve by challenging aspects of her identity and aspects of what God had promised and what God had stated, by challenging and by trying to corrupt her viewpoint, her worldview, her sense of self, her understanding of God, her place in life in the garden. And in that context, the disruptor came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And there's even a condition that has become very, very focused upon called identity crisis. A lot of crises, there's midlife crisis, there's adolescent crisis, and so forth. But their identity crisis, I think, is probably something we need to be really aware of. It's distress and disorientation, especially in adolescence, resulting from conflicting pressures and uncertainty about oneself, growing up under fast-paced conditions, and understanding one's role in society. It's a direct attack on a sense of origin and purpose, value, and destiny. So I felt like I should come and bring God's word to you concerning origin, purpose, value, and destiny. If you're a note taker, you could write those four words: origin, purpose, value, and destiny. And I want to go right into the book of James, chapter 1, and just tell you why it's so good to read the Bible, to look into the mirror of God's word, and to remember and be reminded about these four issues: origin, purpose, value, and destiny. I want to pray right now so that we can have, it won't be just in human wisdom, but that God will demonstrate his power in your heart as these words are preached. Father, please be with my mouth and give me utterance. I know you've given me assurance as to what to share and the time I've studied on this, and I pray that tonight it would advance your cause and promote your kingdom and put your people at high advantage. I pray this would be a replenishing, in most cases a reminder, but I pray in all cases it would be faith building, and I pray that this would cause some amazing and, in fact, major shifts in viewpoint, that faith would come, confidence would come, joy would come, and there would be great restoration. And I bind every evil spirit that would try to steal the word, choke the word, and hinder things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, James, the first chapter, talks about being a doer of the word, and really what God's called us to in Christian life is to not just be hearers, not just come to, you know, get the protein and build up and build up and build up, but get instruction that we may know how we ought to live and the work we're to do, and that we are to actually live this thing. The devil knows the threat we pose because we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And Jesus was the firstborn of many brethren. He came to be the spearhead, to raise a standard. He came to save souls, but he also came to activate people and include us into this master plan of God that Jesus came to restore. What was lost in the Garden of Eden was restored on the cross of Calvary, and we need to earnestly contend for the faith and not allow identity theft to come in here. Right now, they've got all kinds of programs that they're selling now. They advertise these on the right in the middle of the news. The news will talk about breaches in 80 million people. All their information was just taken, you know, presented. And you go to a store. We went and ate at a restaurant. And the next day, they called us and said, cancel your card. We've had a compromise. And there's just an attack on this thing. It's this cyber attack. We all know this to be the case. But what's really at work is a thievery and a deceptive strategy of the enemy to try to keep believers from understanding who they are, where they're coming from, what they have, and where they're headed. I love being in God's house, and I love being under good teaching. And this is a good word right here. I'm, in fact, excited about it for myself because the devil is constantly trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And here it says that if anyone is a hearer of the word, it says in verse 23, and not a doer of the word, he or she is like a man or woman who looks at his or her natural face in a mirror. Once he or she has looked at him or herself and gone away, he or she has immediately forgotten what kind of person he or she was. This is spiritual amnesia. This is where you look and you remember, and then you look away and you become forgetful. And this verse here is amazing, because in verse 25 it says, the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, lives by it, walks according to it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man or woman will be blessed in whatever he or she does. How many of you like the idea of being blessed in whatever you do? Blessing on all fronts. God intends for blessing to break out in your life. I know right now there's some, you feel like you're at a disadvantage. I know in some cases you've come through something that is just mind-numbingly challenging. How many of you have been through a few trials in your life? The Bible says there'd be many, many afflictions. And I think that's part of what'll make heaven heaven. We'll have such a contrast that when we've been there with no devil, no thief coming to steal, kill, and destroy, we see Jesus set up a new heaven and a new earth. We see all the amaze of the millennial reign of Christ and the glorified bodies at the resurrection and all the kinds of things that are the glory and the blessings doled out at the judgment seat of Christ and the amazing clarification that comes out into eternity. Eternity is going to be an adventure. It's not going to be boring. It's not something to look at with some sort of yawn. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And the devil knows that, and he knows that what we do in our earthly lives echoes out through eternity. And that we actually, according to our origin, let's talk about origin. If you and I embrace the idea that we're an accident, and this just all happened just as some sort of random thing, then right off the bat, life is pretty futile and empty because there's no one that initiated it. There's no one that initiated it, therefore there's no one to be accountable to. Therefore, it's just because it's a random accident, then you just could continue to perpetuate accidental life. But there is actually an origin where God specifically said something, God specifically standardized something, and therefore, instead of it being accidental, it's purposeful and deliberate. And so then, therefore, we are invited to live deliberate and purposeful lives. And when you have a sense of origin and bearing about that origin, that gives you a great starting point. You go right back to the starting point and you say, in the beginning, God. There is a God in heaven. There is a God who reveals mysteries. There is a God who gave human beings free moral agency and choice. Therefore, I am a decisional being. God made me in his image, so therefore he's given me value. He pours out his grace and blessing on me. Therefore, I have something to offer. I'm carrying something significant in my life, and I'm walking in this kind of sense of significance. And when you have a sense of beginning, then you also know you have a destination that you'll ultimately arrive at. And so that thing in the middle is called your destiny. So you are actually a person of belonging, a person of significance, a person of extreme value, and a person that is going somewhere and is made to do something. That's good. But identity theft will come along and try to blur that. That's why it says we need to look intently at the mirror of God's word. That's why it's so good to to pour through the pages of the Bible or get your app and look on your whatever you use now to read the scriptures. I'm finding that the phone, you can go up and look up a scripture. I heard a scripture quoted. I looked it up. It came up in King James, and it also came up in like 18 different translations. So I was able to meditate on those different phrasings, and some of them were exactly the same, and some of them had nuances that were a little bit different. They used different verbiage, and it just made my brain think a little bit differently, and it was great for meditation. And just to look at it and ponder it and meditate on it caused me to remember who I am, what I have, and what I could do because of Jesus. Your origin, the definition, is an event that is at the beginning. It's a first part or stage of subsequent events. It's the first part or stage of subsequent events. God wants our lives to be marked by a sense of origin. When we understand our origin and we're not confused about our origin, then we understand that we are original, and then we can live with originality. Come on. And that's quite extraordinary, because in addition to the devil trying to disrupt our identity and make us not really even know and remember who we are, he wants to cripple us and hinder us from our vitality and originality. Original is a model on which something is patterned. Adam and Eve were the first human beings. Jesus is the firstborn of many brethren. When you look at Jesus, you look at the head of the church. When you look in the mirror of the Word and you see yourself included as part of his original plan, then it will cause you to become more productive. It will cause freshness to come in, and it will help you to understand and expect the unusual and the extraordinary instead of blasé, bland existence. This takes us out of this sort of dullness and brings us into vitality. And I pray tonight, as we look into God's Word, we pour into the mirror of His Word. A mirror is something that reflects and something that reveals. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, are being changed or transformed into that same image from glory to glory. I remember when I was a young Christian and I was pretty confused about my origin and where I was headed, young person in my 20s, which inherently is challenging on these issues anyway. And I remember I read about that if anyone is in Christ, they become a brand new creation. And the way this was presented in this particular book I was reading was very helpful. The writer was a pastor and he had a pretty good insight on this and had written some really good chapters about it. So as I read it, over and over again, rather than it being repetitive and redundant, it was actually very helpful in bringing me into the awareness that God creates us in His image for His purposes. He makes us spirit, soul, and body, that we are spiritual beings. We have souls, thinking capacities, emotions, will, and that sort of thing, and we live in physical bodies. And then, in fact, our lives are not just physical and it's not just the flesh. That's part of it, but that's only part of it. There's a spiritual aspect. There's an inner man. There's an outer man. We're to be renewed in the spirit. Our minds are to be renewed. God's word is spirit and it's life. These truths are right out of the Bible. It's clear. It's not hocus pocus. It's not mysticism. And it's also attainable. We can actually live this life, getting renewed in God and walking in this, understanding in the beginning, God created this whole thing. This was something He wanted to do. He created this universe or multiverse or whatever it's called or whatever it is, ever expanding. He knew string theory before string theory was a theory. All the actualities of God are available to us. But when we understand that God initiated this thing, doesn't that bring you into a state of peace and confidence? I'm really glad to know there's an intelligent designer in the midst of all this design. It brings peace. He originated these things. He brought these things into being. He brought the church into being 2,000 years ago. And it's thriving, just as Jesus predicted. He told Peter, when he asked all the people in Caesarea Philippi, hey, who do people say that I am? And there are all kinds of opinions, just like there are now. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. But then he said, who do you say I am? That's what he's constantly centering on. Who do you say I am? And Peter said, You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you nailed it. And by the way, Peter, you're blessed. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven revealed that to you. And I'm going to build my church. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. It's the revelation that Peter obtained that came from God. Aren't you thankful that he opens up the eyes of our hearts? Aren't you thankful that he delivers us from blasé, inferior thinking and reveals himself to us? I'm just so thankful for the spirit of wisdom and revelation that came on the Jesus movement in the 60s and 70s, of which I'm a product, that God moved upon a disenfranchised, broken, fractured time in society and caused an amazing move in a whole generation. He moved majorly amongst the denominational churches that had grown tired and in many cases had grown kind of cold and in some cases even went to a standstill. And God, by his grace, brought a revival, brought salvation to the lost, revival to the saved, and brought an amazing encouragement to my generation. So I have hope in my spirit for these things. I have so much hope that because he's the originator of this thing, he'll do it again and again and again. In fact, the original thing, it's the first part of or a stage of subsequent events. So I trust God for repetition in the eventful breakthrough happenings because the originator is original and he's constantly originating new things. His mercies are new every morning. His grace is sufficient every day. And there is this amazing thing happening in the life of a believer where you become a new creation. You don't become a seasoned old creation. You stay a new creation. When you're in Christ, you're new. His mercies are new every morning. He makes all things new, and he renews us day by day by his Spirit. It's awesome. Next time you're at the freezer section at the store, just remember, man, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wherever you walk, wherever you go, when you check out at the grocery store, those checkers need to know about the new creation. They need to know about your origin. They need to know about eternal life. They don't need you to be obnoxious and flaky. They need you to be present and aware and filled with God. True spirituality is never weird. True spirituality is attractive. It's never repellent. Weirdness and flesh make you feel awkward and creeped out. But when somebody's truly walking with God and carrying the awareness of these truths and has a clear, firm understanding of their identity, of who they are in Christ, what they have because of Christ, where they're coming from and where they're going, I'm telling you, man, it becomes contagious. The people that led me to the Lord were not weird. The people that led me to the Lord were alive. They were fresh. They weren't speaking theoretical, overphrasing, repetitive speech. They weren't throwing amen, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, glory to God. They were speaking in terms I could understand. They were engaging. They were inclusive. They were inviting. I couldn't resist what was going on in their life. It made me want what they had. In fact, the Bible says with what God wants to do and intends to do with the church, he actually wants to make people jealous with what's present in the people that get redeemed. That's amazing where your life is so filled with appeal. So this is why the devil's trying to do identity theft. What does identity theft do? I mean, it siphons out people's finances. What is it mainly designed to do? It's mainly designed to steal their stuff. You know, I saw an ad for one of these. Bro, you better buy this program right now. Better buy this program right now. You know, because it talks about, oh, there are their retirements all siphoned off. They name off everything that matters to you and me in the financial sense. Well, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the first thing, look what the first thing he did with Eve was make things unclear. Did God really say this? He's evil. He's a thief. And thieves come to steal, kill, and destroy. They come to steal your joy. They come to steal your courage. They come to steal your sense of bearing and your sense of place in life. That's what an identity crisis is. It makes you quiet. It makes you not expect the eventful, repetitive happenings of God. I tell you, I'm the most ecstatic when I see God stuff happen in the unexpected dailies of my life. That's what jazzes me. When you walk into a place and you've encountered somebody that God just ordered your steps to. I just want you guys to catch this. This is a big thing, a potential. And even those of you that are reserved and kind of quiet and conservative and you're kind of introverted, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with your personality tendencies. The call to be a new creation, the call to have exploits happen in your life, that's regardless of age, ethnicity, gender, how long you've been saved, what your personality tendencies are. It just is what it is. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh. And that God wants to do great things in sons and daughters, fathers and the elders and so forth. I mean, this is what's so awesome about biblical Christianity. And this is why the devil's fighting so hard to get your spiritual social security number so that you're no longer secure to impact society as God has numbered you to be. The devil's trying to wheedle out your daily effective potential. Your prayers can change the course of the upcoming news in the upcoming weeks. Your words of encouragement can literally help somebody, teeter somebody out of a suicidal place and bring them back into a place of confidence again. I've seen it again and again. In fact, you're commissioned, we are commissioned to be available to the Holy Spirit for those types of things. And the devil's trying to cancel this out, and he attacks you at the very sense of identity, of value, of origin, of purpose. And he tries to chip that away all the time. So we have to be relentless to intently attend to his word, build ourselves up and understand, read and ponder and consider these things so that we will be renewed back in the purposes of God. Purpose. The Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest. He came to destroy the work of the evil one. He also came to seek and save that which is lost. He came, he said, my desire is to do the will of the Father. I only do what I see my Father doing. So he came to do exactly what God's will was, and that was to die on the cross for the sins of fallen humanity. He came to set captives free, and Jesus is still engaged in that business. The devil is going right at the heart of your identity and mine, trying to undermine the very essence of what God's called us to be aware of and what God's called us to do. In fact, church isn't to play church. Church is God's idea that he demonstrates his plan in. He creates corporate anointing. He calls us to bring and merge our voices together in praise and worship, to pool our resources, to labor together with specific purposes and specific projects and specific things that God's called us to. You could read it all throughout the Bible. I've studied this for years. The church is in the Bible, where God assigned them to key things. In fact, what bothers me anywhere in the world where suffering Christians, it bothers me. It makes me mad in my spirit. This identity theft thing, does it bother you as much as it bothers me? It makes me livid. But it bothers me when people in God get ripped off in understanding how powerful the Holy Spirit is. How interested God is in manifesting himself through you and me. How you are included into his purposes and you are created in Christ for good works which he prepared beforehand. And I'm not going to pretend to have all those good works figured out. And that's not my job to gift project and try to closely identify all those things in all of your hearts. That's your job to identify that, hey, I'm originated on purpose. And there are subsequent events from that original event that God wants to manifest himself in and through in my life down to the personal micro minute, second by second level. And that God wants to do some amazing exploits in and through your life. When you pray and the devil tries to make you feel depleted, good news, doesn't really matter how you feel or how I feel. Because we're not, the Bible says, required to have elated feelings all the time accompanying our faith. In fact, we walk by faith and not by sight. So Paul even said, I've learned how to rejoice in the Lord and live independently from my circumstances. Somehow, he didn't allow his mood, his emotions, his circumstance, the characteristics of what he saw and felt at any given moment. And I've even had to help people when they've reached huge success moments. This is not just, well, keep going, man. Let's get some attaboys when we're having struggles. We need a lot of grace when there's amazing breakthrough. Because the tendency in amazing breakthrough is to start coasting and just kind of getting lackadaisical. That happened in the life of King David. He got kind of lackadaisical, and God had to bring him back. And yet, the thing that I liked about David is said, you alone are the one I trust. David's deal was he kept beating the drum. I need God. Paul the Apostle, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The early church modeled it. The best that's ever happened in history all comes from people identifying and understanding and identifying with what the originator has purposed, what he's called us to do, the value he's placed upon us. The value he's placed. Remember how devalued Gideon felt in Judges chapter 6 and 7 when Israel was kind of trashed. The spiritual condition was very, very rough. They were bombarded. The Amalekites kept coming in on their camels. They'd wait until the crops grew. And as soon as the crops reached fruition, they'd come and steal all the food from the people and they'd go take off with it. They had the advantage of fast speed with the camels. The Hebrew people didn't. They were oppressed. They finally reached a point where there was some repentance and they had what we'd see as a tremendous revival. God sent a messenger to Gideon and said, "Oh, valiant warrior, I'm going to anoint you to battle the Amalekites and do a great work." And immediately, because of an identity crisis, Gideon said, "Hey, if God really loved us, then where are the miracles?" And the messenger said, "God delivered you up, and he delivered you out of Egypt, and he delivered you up." And he started to remind him of the spiritual patterns of God's faithfulness. Gideon is so stuck that he's saying, "Hey, you know, if God really loved us, why is all this happening?" Does that sound familiar to you? And then he said, "Hey, my family is the least in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father. I'm the run of the litter." He's looking at all of his limitations. And the Lord just keeps saying to him, "Oh, valiant warrior. Oh, valiant warrior." Nudge somebody and say, "Oh, valiant warrior." Now, that word valiant is interesting because it comes from the word valor. And valor comes from the word value. And the devil is trying to impact your origin, purpose, value, and destiny. And identity theft devalues stuff. $50 billion a year in the U.S. market alone. Devil's sophisticated. But you know what? We'll be intent and we'll get in the Word of God. And even though the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus, broad shoulder, resurrection in the life, Jesus said, "I've come to give you life. And that much more abundantly." I like abundant life. I like the idea of abundance. I like abundance of wisdom. I like abundance of breakthrough. I like it that this transcends time and space. It's not just limited to a certain group, to a certain time, to a certain region, to a certain geography, to a certain gender. It's for all of us. It's for each one of us. Hallelujah. That's why John said, "I speak to you sons because of this. I speak to you old men because of this. I speak to you." And he goes back and forth trying to include everybody and exclude nobody. Hallelujah. Now, value is the quality that renders something desirable or valuable. It means to hold in high esteem, to consider as precious. See, this is why the devil attacks your sense of value, because God's actually anointed you and me to regard others as valuable and precious, because that's so rare in modern life right now. It's so rare in modern life. But we've got to take this and capture this again. Now, value comes from the French word valor, which means to be worth, to be worth. And the Latin word valer, it means to be strong, to be worth something. So valor means strength of mind in regard to danger, that quality which enables a person to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage, prowess, and intrepidity. The quality that enables a person to encounter danger with firmness, personal bravery, courage, prowess, and intrepidity. Valor is value and worth. When somebody calls you a man or a woman of valor, they're saying, I value who you are and what you carry. I value what you're about. And this has to start with our value of the originator, God. And we carry it deep. That's called praise and worship. That's called worshiping God. I acknowledge you, God. I seek you, God, because you're particular and central in things. I'm putting you first daily, minute by minute. I honor you as God. You are my God. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm not going to ignore you. And I'm not going to ignore the fact that you've started something and I'm part of it and I'm going to stay in the race, and I'm going to press on with this thing, and I'm going to shake off the heaviness, and I'm going to deflect every lie of the devil, who I realize is the dream thief. He's the identity thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. 15 million U.S. citizens have directly been impacted on a year-by-year basis. 15 million Americans. 100 million are put at risk. Globally, I think it's at a critical level. But spiritually, this is where the devil's trying to erase your confidence, steal your joy, blur your vision, numb your sense of bearing. If he could disrupt your sense of origin and your sense of value and purpose right now, he'll try to disrupt that destiny that's on your life. And it is imperative that we shake off the heaviness and recognize, hey, each one of us, we're a people of destiny. They're a divine, they're a series of divine happenings God wants to order our steps in. And we should really get kind of enthralled with that. Get kind of jazzed that the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. It's not a coincidence you're here right now. Woo! God had a plan to bring you to this point to hear this word. And we're putting caffeine in the decaf right now to just keep you up. I want all of you to stand up on your feet because I want to, if the devil employs this tactic to steal, kill, and destroy, then my goal is that this stir such a sense of destiny in your life, the inevitability that stuff is happening, that your future is secure, and that there's an ultimate goal laid out before you that the gates of hell can't prevail against. Since the devil employs this tactic to steal, kill, and destroy, we need to implement a strategy where we look into the mirror of God's word. What I did when I first encountered this is I wrote down a whole list of who I am in Christ. Because of Jesus, I am more than a conqueror. Because of Jesus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because of Jesus, when I pray, I believe I receive. Because of Jesus, when I sow, I also reap. Because of Jesus, I'm a fisher of men, I'm a soul winner. Because of Jesus, I'm healed by his stripes. Because of Jesus, I can deflect every lie of the devil and I could stand my ground. You have nothing to say about how you started. You have nothing to say about your beginning, but you have everything to say about where you're going from here. And I love the saying, you could get anywhere from here. I like those signs where they say North Pole, 1,200 miles, you know, Anchorage, Alaska, 1,700 miles or whatever they do. You know, I like all those kinds of signs because it just kind of tells you, well, this is wherever you could get anywhere from here. Rio de Janeiro is so many miles from here, you know. Well, right where you're standing, the person next to you, act like they're that signpost. And just realize there are all kinds of variables on each one of our lives. And what we really want is that sign that's saying, go this way. This is my best for you. This is my highest and best use and purpose for your existence from the upcoming days. You don't have any control over how things have come to this point, but I brought you into this place for such a time as this. Even with the Jews, they were dispersed, but God promised he'd bring them back together, and he has, and he is, and he's fulfilling all of his promises. The covenant is everlasting. Amazing things for that people group. Would you not agree? For the church, hey, he said the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. All the garbage that tries to layer over it, it blows right off in a meeting like this because we take our place and we understand our origin. We understand our value. We understand the purpose of God on our lives. We understand the destiny and the destination that's up ahead. And by it, then we can shake off the heaviness. Say this with me. I'm a new creature in Christ. The old things passed away. New things have come. I put off the old man. I put on the new man. I am raised up to walk in newness of life. Signs and wonders follow me. I'm more than a conqueror. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no condemnation any longer for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I am more than a conqueror. In all these things, I overwhelmingly conquer. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you, God, that every tongue that rises in judgment against us, we condemn. I thank you that you are our vindicator. Our vindication is from the Lord. Thank you that you have something to say about the accusations of the accuser of the brethren. Thank you that you have something to say about the identity theft that's trying to waylay us. Now, literally and primarily, I pray for this spiritual identity, revelation, and wisdom to come to every one of these men and women. I pray a spark of freshness and joy would come, and their faith would be roused and stirred and fed and fueled and stimulated to great achievement. I come against the thief who comes to steal the word, choke the word, hinder the word. I pray the blessing of God would flow in this place. I pray for I pray people's identity doesn't get stolen in the practical sense. Since I've talked so much about it, I take authority over it in the name of Jesus, and I pray protection on all these guys and all their stuff. And I thank you that it's in your care and in your hands. And as I've used that as an example, it's not going to stir up upset. We take authority. We pray the prayer of faith over one another, and we trust you to cover it. Hey, now here's what I want to do as we get ready to close. I want you to turn and I want you to pray with one another. I want you to find a couple of people and we're going to finish. We're going to pray and take authority. We're going to believe God for originality, for purposefulness, for a sense of value, and then the result of valor and that renewed sense of destiny. I have a destiny. I shall fulfill it in Jesus' name.